Really share with you one Mishnah. There's one Mishnah I want to share with you. I don't remember, you know, when you get to my age, you know, I don't remember if we did this or not. So if we did it, I don't know. If we did it, then you'll just have to tell me we did and we'll switch. I mean, we have plenty to talk about.
We're not 20 years.
Oh, yeah, truth is you forgot also. So we're good. Comes along a one particular Mishnah that I want to break down. This Mishnah is found in, is anyone's your first time here? Any first-timers? Wow, welcome. Welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Hizuk. So there is one Mishnah that's found in Perkei Avos, chapter 3, Mishnah 18. Gich. Gimel Yud Ches. Gich. All right? And you know what? You guys, Rabbi Berkowitz, just spoke about the idea of learning Torah and knowing Torah, and you have to know, and they didn't know. Everyone knew everything, and you guys don't know anything, and you're terrible, and you have to really have a part and soul and all that stuff. All right, so... So I'd like to just begin with, you know what? You guys tell me. Go ahead. Gimel Yud Ches. Okay, I'll do it. All right. Says the Mishnah as follows. Who's the author of the Mishnah? Let's start with that. Before I even tell you who it is, who wrote this Mishnah?
Who wrote it?
Very good. The Mishnah starts off, Hu Haya Omer. He said the following. Yeah. City. Hu Haya Omer. He said the following. Who is who? He. Is she? Yeah. But you have to go one earlier, and that would be, okay, there was a great sage by the name of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva comes along and he says, in Gimel Yud Ches, Gavriel Yeshchachma, the following idea. Hu Yomer, Chaviv Adam Shenivra Betzelem. Chaviv Adam Shenivra Betzelem. How beloved is man, how beloved you is, that you was created Betzelem. Now, what does it mean, Betzelem? Okay, image. I'm fine with that. Who are you, Mary? Says the following idea. Chaviv Adam Shenivra Betzelem. How beloved is man. We are so beloved that we created Betzelem in the image. Now, what does that mean? When somebody really loves something a lot, for example, themselves, when they love themselves, they will create things that will be of themselves. You want to do for someone like Rabbi Akiva, we know, said, V'aftalecha kamocha. We generally misunderstand that concept of love your fellow like you love yourself. There's a lot to talk on that, but I'm not going to right now because it's not the point. But one of the mistakes we would make is like, well, if I love me and I love you and I want to express my love to you, I'm going to do it in the way that I love me. And that's a mistake, right? Because obviously if I like ice cream and you're lactose intolerant, there's going to be an issue, right? although it would make sense that that's what we do. And we would like to show love in the way that we like to receive love. It's just a normal way of behavior. The goal is to be able to get beyond ourselves and to try to understand what's important to somebody else. And love them the way that you want to be loved, but not necessarily the avenue that the way you're loved, right? So it means, how do I want to feel? I'd like to give over that feeling. Now I have to figure out who you are in order to accomplish that. For example, if someone likes a cowboy steak, for example, then you make sure they have one when they come to your house and you're not in the country, whoever you may be in this room, right? The point is that you do things when you want to express that type of idea. So what would be if the greatest show of love would be if I were to do for you what is me? Chaviv Adam Shenivra Betzelem. You understand that God loves us so much, he created us in his image. What greater thing can he do than actually give himself? You understand? That's what we say, Chaviv Adam Shenivra Betzelem. But when we say Adam, we don't mean Jews. It's including Jews, but don't think it means Jews. How do I know? Because the mission is about to get to Jews. We're not up to Jews yet. We are inclusive, but not... It sounds a little... You could call it narcissistic, or you could call it in a concept of... Narcissism would be that I'm doing it for me, but I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for you. And the thing I'm going to do for you is the greatest thing that I can do for you, and that's give me to you, right? And that would be, for example, which I never really spoke about this ever, and never even thought about this until I'm speaking right now, but that would be that what was the highest thing would be is the neshama, right? Which shows a chelek elokam imal. And that's adam, right? As opposed to an animal. Chaviv adam shenivra betzelem. But it means every person. Then there's a whole discussion. Does a non-Jew have a neshama? Not have a non-Jew. Did they have it? Did they lose it? Could they get it back? Okay, ayin nefesh chaim. Take a look. You never will. But the point is that understand that chaviv adam shenivra betzelem. Hashem says, I love you so much, I'm going to give of me to you. That's a very, very powerful idea. Now, it's really nice. It's really nice if God loves me so much that he wants to create me in his image. That's really nice. But if I don't know that, then as they say, I think it was the 70s, what is it good for? absolutely nothing, right? So essentially, if you create me in your image, in other words, you're showing how much you love me, but I don't even know that I'm created in your image, then what's the value? And Rav Noach, anyway, he passed 2009. So Rav Noach would give over the following mashal. Mashal l'mad davar doma. To what is this likened? Okay. The following idea. And that is, imagine it's por segundo. No? Okay, he doesn't speak Spanish. Okay, so now, imagine for a moment you're walking in New York down the streets of Manhattan. Okay, you're walking down Manhattan. And we know there's a lot of buildings, a lot of alleyways that are found throughout right, Manhattan. And you, when you go, as you're walking by, you see that there's a homeless person there. You feel bad, there's some homeless person. And for some reason, it's not, you've never seen it before, but it tugs at your heart strings, okay? Your heart is playing the harp. And you're like, oh my, I feel so for this. I shall do for this. For thou with I will give. Now this person's sleeping. You know what's going on? They're on their cardboard box. You know, they have their thing going on there. The price of cardboard is expensive nowadays. So it is what it is. But okay, this is a wealthy homeless man. And they go and say, like, okay, let me help this person out. They're there, the line, their tattered clothing, you got their push cart, you know, the shopping cart from Costco, you know, like whatever. They put it back or whatever. It's from Yesh and they took it to America. Anyway, the hands kind of falling up. Anybody here went shopping here in Israel? What's the one thing you would change if you could on shopping carts? You guys don't want shopping here. Four-wheel drive. Did anyone notice that? The carts here, all four wheels move. So when you try to turn, I literally don't know. I was with my wife yesterday because I am a great husband. And I went. She said, I have to or it's over. So we went. And the way that I turn corners, because I'm going like this, I walk and then I just swing the cart. They're literally impossible. Anyway, the person had the cart from Costco, Yesh, whatever it is, Olam Abayit, whatever they were buying. And this person says, it feels so bad. You know, I just got to help this person. I have to help this person, right? So what does he do? Takes out a checkbook and he writes a check for this person. Writes a check for $100 million, leaves it blank, you know, small chunk of change, leaves it blank and takes it and puts it on the bottom of the cart under the bottles. The guy will go, he'll return the bottles, he'll find the check, and he'll be a rich man. Right? Whatever, all day long, he'll whatever he does. If he was a wealthy man, he will be. Fine. So whatever, he goes, he leaves it, he's feeling great about himself, walks away. Guy has no idea, he's sleeping. Wakes up, you know, in the after morning thing, and he takes the cart and he continues the other way, collecting bottles and cans and bottles, recycling and getting the cash, right? And he goes and he puts in the thing, you know, and he sucks in the whole thing. And whatever, I remember when I was younger that we used to do this. I mean, whatever, my family didn't like to give me money. So he used to go out and you know, collect the things. I wish I was kidding. So anyway, point is that thank you, please. You know, I still have trauma if anyone wants to help. Still have trauma, you know. I'm fine with that. IFS. No, it's not. It's just I. Forget the FS. Anyway, so the point is that a guy, not a therapist, just about the part and the soul. Okay, so here's the thing. So you think you can tell him? So I go ahead, and not me, sorry, homeless guy, goes in and he starts putting in the thing and getting, and but you can't, there's a certain limit, but you can't do thousands of bottles, there's a certain limit. So he reaches the limit and his cart is still half full. So he gets the thing, gets the coupon, fine, and he goes around collecting more bottles and cans of bottles, and then he goes to return them, but he can't do all of them. So it ends up never getting to the bottom, and the guy dies never knowing that he has a $100 million check in his cart.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a bank account, so he couldn't cash it.
Exactly, the whole thing is like a scam, right? So what do you say here? Chaviv Adam Shenivra, that's basically every game show. You win a new house, like, yay! You have to pay the taxes now, it's like a rabbi bike, right? And it says, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, we're so beloved that we created B'Tzelem. Chiba Yiseira, a higher level of love and affection. No, that's lo Shenivra B'Tzelem. Then he came in and he let us know. He told us, Shenemer ki B'Tzelem Elokim Asa Es Adam. We are created B'Tzelem Elokim. So number one is to understand the fact that we are created in the image of God. That already is a big deal. We're godly. That's a powerful thing to say, like, oh, you mean I come from such an idea? I come from the Kisei HaKavod? That's very big. I didn't even realize. If I would have realized, then I would have, who knows, fill in the blank. We're not done. Step number two. Then come on Yisrael. And the mission continues. Who was it? Who's speaking? Good. Who? Which is? Rabbi Akiva. Comes in. He says as follows. If you had to pick a pasuk that you felt connected with, as a pasuk you feel connected with, what would it be? Anyone have a particular pasuk that you say, I like this pasuk? You have to look at Mocha? Good. Anyone else? Ain chodesh tachas shemesh. Nothing new under the sun. Okay, what do you got? Ani b'chasach b'tachti. You only like half psukim. Your galley baby sure said. Okay, very good. Right. Okay, I don't know what the whole thing. It's a crazy thing. I would also cry to God if there was a camel on me, you know. Anyway, so the point is that you have to. Okay, what? Me? Oh, Ezu Ashir, Ezu Ashir. Okay, you're going with the Mishnah. Nusach Sfard? Nusach Sfard? You're not sure. Okay, no, it's like Sfard would do that every week. Okay, so my favorite one, I shouldn't say such a thing, one that I feel that I would like to connect with is. By the way, I'm a big fan of that one right there. Vani b'chasa b'tachtim, I'm a big fan. My son, Yona, is learning how to play guitar now. I'm teaching him. He's getting great quick because I'm amazing. And not only as a player, but as a teacher. What's that? No, it's about me. And IFS. Anyway, so... the first song I taught him was Rizal's song. Vani b'chasecha b'tachti, yogeli bibi shuatecha. Beautiful. There's a piano, but we're doing guitar. Vani b'chas, shirela Hashem, shirela Hashem. You know the one? Shirela Hashem ki gemal alay. What's that? No, that'd be crazy. Anyway, so the point is, I should have, though. Maybe, guys, bring one next time we'll play. So you come in. My pasuk is, not my pasuk, my pasuk is, No, that's just my pasuk when I say, when I daven. But the meaning, Elisha Gabriel, I say, fine. But the pasuk I'm talking about is the words, Banim Atem Lashem Elokechem. Listen carefully to this one. Ready? It goes like this. Chaviv in Yisrael, how beloved are the Jewish people. Now, this isn't, again, Chaviv Adam. All people, not only all people, Tov Hashem Lakol V'Racham Avakol Ma'asav. Hashem loves all of his handiwork, as our article says, right? He loves all. But understand over here, there's a special, deeper relationship that we go and say, it's Chaviven Yisrael. The Jewish people are so beloved that what happens, Sheniku Banim Lamalkim, we are called the children of Hashem. Chiba Yisera, a higher and deeper level, more so of love, Nodas Lahem Sheniku Banim Lamalkim, that he told us, Shenemar, Banim Atem Lashem Elokechem. You are the children of God. Now, I want to share with you a story, which this story, I'm having deja vu, like we did this. This story, I'm having deja vu that we did this. Anyway, so but this story, we may have actually done before, but we're going to repeat it to bring out a point over here. There's a woman, by the name of Sarah Kolbersome. Anyone? She was never on the mission. Not yet. Whoa, relax. You have to ask. Maybe the Pew study says maybe. Anyway, so Sarah Kolbersome, that reminds me. Sarah Kolbersome is from a place called, I think she's from one of my dear Talmudim's favorite songs, West Virginia. It's a place called West Virginia. She wasn't a mountain mama, but I think she was from West Virginia. No, she wasn't actually originally from there, but she didn't really know where she was from because Sarah Kolbersome was adopted. Now, there was never a secret. There was never, her parents always told her, but her adoptive parents, but she never knew her lineage, where she comes from. And not even her parents do. They adopted. They didn't know where it was coming from exactly. She always wanted to know. And as she got older, she was going to check it out. Eventually, she went to high school. She went to college. She went to graduate school. When she was finally graduate, she's like, you know what? I'm going to figure this out. She starts investigating. And she gets to a phone number that they claim might be a relative, perhaps an uncle of hers. So she calls up the number. And when the guy answers, she hears the following. You know, she says, hello? And then she goes, hi, my name is Sarah Kolbersome. Now, Sarah was actually her name. They didn't name her Sarah. She came from the adoption agency with that name. Her last name, Kolbersome, just took on the family name. So of her adopted family. Sarah Kolbersome calls up, hi, my name is Sarah Kolbersome. And, you know, I'm from West Virginia. I'm not a country mama, but I'm from, you know, West Virginia. And, you know, I heard that maybe we're related. And then she hears like a silence. And she hears, Sarah? Is that you? Well, yes. I mean, that's what I just said. You know, tis I. Yeah. Sarah, we have been looking for you. Ah, the one you're going to be. Wait. He goes and says, You've been looking for me? Well, I've been looking for you. Sarah, do you know who you are? Well, uncle, if I knew who I was, I wouldn't be calling you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, maybe I'd say, hey, but I'm saying I wouldn't like it. Sarah, you are the princess of Sierra Leone. You looked that up? See, I'm not making this up. Sarah Culverson originally comes. Everyone's like, you know, I want to point out the trauma she has. Let's understand something. You are the princess. You know, what you just said is what my kids would do. Whenever I tell a story at home, my kids go and they say, like, is this a Marshall? Like, is this a Marshall? Like, is this a real story? This is an actual story. She is from a place called Sierra Leone. Her grandfather is the chief of the tribe. Her father would be the next in line, making her now, she is the princess of Sierra Leone. Why they gave her away, I'm not, whatever, read the article. It's not such a great thing. But anyway, the point is that she ended up being adopted, and she was like, what? I'm the prince of Sierra Leone? They go, yeah, Sierra Leone's in Western Africa, right? There's a Pesach program there. Anyway, she goes and says, like, oh, wow, unbelievable. Can't believe it. Wow, I have to visit. She goes to visit. Now, even though she never heard of them, they all heard of her. The whole tribe, the whole community. And she gets off the plane, you know, one of those like propeller planes. It's like, I fly private, propeller. You know? And they landed over there. And when she gets there, she comes out. They're all wearing the colorful garbs. And they see her. And they're so excited. And they just can't hide it. No, 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 no. They're about to lose control. And they think they like. And they do. And they see her. And they're like, oh my goodness. And they see her. It is her, Sarah. It's Sarah. She here. Sarah, come on. And she's like, you know, trying to keep up with like all the movements. You know, she's not sure exactly like how to do this. And she's like, what's going on? And they totally like worship her as the princess. She's there for a few days or whatever it is. And she really feels connected to this. She goes back home. When she goes back home, she decides she's going to do something for them. They didn't have indoor plumbing. They didn't have running water. And they go out and she ends up doing the Kickstarter crowdfund thing, whatever it is. She ends up helping them. Fine. The story, though, is a true story. The whole thing is a mashal. Imagínate por un segundo. Just imagine for a moment that you were to wake up and you find out a story about yourself that you had no idea. And when I'm just saying, like, you know, you find out that you're a princess. You're like, I knew it. No, but I mean to say, not a Jewish American princess. I mean to say, you're a Jap. But I mean to say, I thought it said Gap. But rather, you turn out that you actually come from royalty. Can you imagine?
What is your identity?
So the question is, I feel the problems. But can you imagine what a person would feel like? First, like, what's going on? What is that? But the sense of, wait a minute, I'm royalty? You need to say, like, I'm actually, like, I'm valuable. Like, there's something here which is, like, more than the norm. But I think we could all imagine there'd be a certain sense of, okay, there's a certain sense of responsibility now, a certain sense of a feeling of chashivas, of prominence, and of stature. That's an amazing feeling. So the pasuk comes and he tells us what? It's really nice that he loves us so much that he created us banim lamakum. What are banim lamakum? The children of God. God, Dios, is rey del mundo. We are, I don't want to say we are because it's not going to come out well. You are princesses. Yeah, we are what's called princely. Now, the difference between when I say before the concept of when we say we know that we're princesses versus what we're saying now is the difference between Shemayim Varetz. Because beforehand, it was more of like an arrogance type of thing. Like, I'm a princess, I run the show, whatever I want, whatever it is. But now it's understanding of no, you're actually a princess, which means that there's a king and you're the child of the king. And there's something very big over here. That's called Banam Hashem Elokeichem. So how do you behave? Now there's a question. If you would understand the fact that you're actually a princess, do you behave like a princess? Now what's a princess? Let's understand the difference between what we'd call the unfortunate, perhaps.
Meghan Markle.
Okay, I don't want to get personal. okay, so Mrs. Markle, I know we just met, but understand over here that the difference between, let's say, a dictator and a king, right? A dictator is someone who's doing everything for themselves. A king is doing something for the people, right? That's the difference. Is it coming in or is it going out? A king, they do everything they can in order to make sure that my subjects, my followers are okay. Yes, it's true. You have to serve the king and long live the king. But the servants of the king want to serve the king because they feel like this is a king. You understand? And a king actually cares and loves him. Yeah, what do you got, break? So what is a king? A king is somebody who I care about the people so much that I'm going to do anything I can in order to help them. What can I do to help my people? You respect, you honor, you give kavod, you fear, whatever it may be. But at the same time, I know that the king loves me and cares for me. A prince or a princess takes on that role on just on a lower level. And that is that I'm also meant to emulate my father, the king. And what is it that my father, the king, is? So we know. Mahu rachum, afatarachum. Mahu chanun, afatam. Mahu gomel chesed, so to you. Which means I have to try to think, what does the king do? What's the behavior of the king? Let's go further. The king has everything that they need. The king has everything. The king doesn't need anything. The king's entire focus is on, as you would say, yenim, is on somebody else, is what could I do for somebody else? It's not a thought process of, let me get the seat first, let me get the food before everyone, let me get the best room, let me get the whatever. It's, what can I do for everybody else? So the bottom line is, they go and they think, what can I do for someone else? The question is, are we living up to our position of being a princess? Are we living up to the concept? Do we look at ourselves like a Jewish American princess, which is, it's all about me, I'm the princess? Or do I say, wait a minute, I'm a child of God, therefore let me emulate God. It's not about me at all. It's all about somebody else. And that is, what could I do for somebody else? How could I help them? How could I make them feel better? How could I give them what they need? Am I getting out of myself for someone else, or am I doing now? It is important. This is not the point of the class. But of course, we know that the best way to give to someone else is to give yourself. You must fill yourself up in order to give to others. No question about it. The problem is when you are so full and you still keep taking and grabbing all the stuff that's falling off you. It's about, let's fill ourselves up that it can continue to pour out to others and recognize that that's a princess. That's a prince. That's what it means to be royalty. Every one of us in this room are princely. In which case, if we are princely, the question is, are you living up to that? What is your behavior? How are you? What are you? It's a crazy concept to really put into practice. And we know you come on a trip like this, it's very easy to be princely sometimes, because sometimes we lose ourselves. But when you come here, and after the first couple of days of getting used to it, but then you're in a growth-oriented chizik situation where you're always going, now go home and be a princess, right? The most simple example of that would be, it's okay, let the person have the parking spot. Let it go. It's okay. Let me give to them. I'll find something else, or I won't, because no parking anywhere. So double park, get a ticket, give it to your husband. It's not the point is to understand that it's about bringing that. So that's what we say. Do you understand who you are? If we would truly understand who we were, our behavior would be very different. And again, there's so much more I want to say in that. Number three. Okay, here we go. Now we have the next one. It goes like this. So we have, we're so beloved that we're created B'Tselem. And Hashem told us that. We're so beloved, the Jewish people, that we're called the children of Hashem. He's so much more that he told us that. And then we have the next level. And he says the following. Chaviv in Yisrael. This is the next Yisrael. Adam Yisrael. Chaviv in Yisrael. Shenitan lahem klichem da. How beloved are the Jewish people? We're so beloved that he gave us a kli chemda. What does the word chemda mean?
Chem'ah
is butter. Chem'ah is, I can't believe it's not butter. Chemda is? I'll give you a hint. Yeah, good. You say it every day if you bench. Or non-gluten. Okay. But Eretz Chemda. Tova Urechava. Yeah, you know what it means. It's like, Chemda means, I'm not sure. Moving along. So he says like this, the way that he experienced in art school is a cherished, or as you said, precious. Very good. A precious, desirable kli. A kli is a vessel or utensil. You know, a desirable idea. What is over here? That a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're so chavid, we're so beloved to Hashem, shenitalem kli chemda. We're given a cherished kli. Chibi yesera, a higher level, is Shenita, is that what? That he told us. Yiserish Nodaslam. Shenita Lam Khilchamda Shenemar. K Ki lekach tov nosat, you know, the things like you start singing them, it's like kol isha, right? And then there's the one guy in the men's section that has no sort of sense of songs, so it's like ki lek, he's like lekach tov, like bro, like keep it down, right? But ki lekach tov nasati lochem torasi al ta'azovi utazovi. What did he say? Lekach, I gave you a lekach tov. I gave you a good teaching. I gave you something, not just teaching. I gave you something which is good. Torasi, my Torah. Al tazovu, do not forsake it. Don't leave it. Don't forget it. What does that mean? Says God, I give you. If God could have said, I give you anything. And what did he say? I love you so much that I'm going to give you something incredibly precious to me. This thing is called the actual blueprint of the entire existence. Number one is you're a chelek elokam imal. You're a tzelem elokim. That's number one. And number two is, you know what? You're my kid. I love you so much. You have to understand the princeliness of your existence. And number three, you know what else I'm going to give you? I'm going to give you the key to all existence. And it's called the Torah Gdoisha. It's not an even Akasha. I'm giving you the Torah itself. I'm giving you the top of the top. I'm talking Clapton's 80s, cream of the crap. Yeah, yo. The Torah itself. He said, "I called here lekach tov nesati lachem torasi. I give you a good teaching, my Torah. Al tazovu, don't forsake it. Why do you have to say not to forsake it? It's such a good gift." The answer is because we all know that's the Yitzhara is coming over time, right? And that's what like Rabbi Berkowitz is saying. Well, you got to get involved in learning and knowing what's going on. Torasi al tazovu, don't forsake my Torah. What does that mean? Mashal amad davidoma. It's a mashal. Okay, you can look up the story. It's not going to exist this way. The story is like this, but you can look up something else which will exist and look it up when I do it. Ready? It goes like this. Hi. Imagine there's a child, and this child, one day, they wake up. It's June 6th, not June 30th. June 6th, which is, thank you. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. June 6th.
Oh, Chafei Sivan, all you religious folk.
Anyway, so June 6th. Don't forget it.
How old are you?
I'm turning 30.
That's the best joke.
June 6th. I am hitting the purpose of existence. I'm hitting the purpose of existence. First of all, happy birthday. I'm hitting the purpose of existence. No one saw The Hitchhiker's Guide to... All right. The Masos that the Jewish people took, how many travels did they take?
40?
Yeah,
no,
49?
Could you just give us, why are you making this so
difficult? What was the black guy who played baseball, the first Jesse? What number was he? Figure it out. Anyway, so here's the story. Can you let, someone said? Someone got it? 42. On June 6, 6, 6. You got it? 6, 6, June 6. This person goes ahead. I wake up in the morning and I go to my, you know, this person goes to their parents and they say, you know, hi, good morning, waiting for like happy birthday. But they don't say anything. Hello, like, good morning. You know what today is? And they go like, Tuesday? Like, no, like something else. And they're going to say like, no, what is it? And like, it's my birthday, and I'll cry if I want to. And I'm saying, you would cry too if they forgot your birthday, right? How dare you? So then the mother says to the father, "No, honey, we forget the birthday, right? Right, Philip? Right? We forget the birthday, right?" He says, "Oh no, of course. Go get the gift." She's like, "Oh, I'll go get the gift." He goes upstairs. He comes back down. He's got a little red box. He goes, "Here, son. Here's your red box." I'm like, okay, that's it. You know, but okay, I guess big things come in small packages. Let's see. Opens it up, and what's in there? A silver dollar. A silver dollar. Now, last time I taught this, I had to explain what that meant. I'm going to keep going. A silver dollar. So the kid goes, "Oh, wow, yay, thank you. A dollar. Thank you. Oh, you're welcome. We didn't forget your birthday." So then the kid goes to school all upset, like, I can't believe it.
They forgot my birthday. They don't even care about me. Where's the love? Kid goes into school, whatever it is, and they finish, they're walking home, they're all upset, and they say, you know what, I'm going to get myself something to drink. They go into the store, they go into the Makolet, bodega, restaurant thing, place, whatever, shop, and they walk in there, and they get themselves, you know what, they feel like, you know, they're feeling down, they won't feel good, they're going to get themselves a DDP, Diet Dr. Pepper. So they go, they bring in the thing, it says it costs $1, they bring it to the front, beep, comes out to $45.63, right, and they go, and they say, like, what? I thought it was, okay, so it's $1.17. Kid's like, oh, no, I don't got any cash. I don't have, like, a beep on me. I got nothing. So it says, oh, wait, oh, I'll tell you what I have. Takes out the silver dollar. It says, I have this. The guy's like, bro, a silver dollar? It's worth $1.17. This is $1. But that's all I have. You know, it's pretty cool. I haven't seen it in a while. I'll take it. Takes the silver dollar. Kid goes home.
Big mistake.
Fast forward. 1 year later. Kid comes down. It's June 6th. Thank you. The kid comes down. Chafei Sivan. Kid comes down. Hey, good morning. Same thing plays itself out. You forgot again. And the baby says, no, honey. Philip, what do you mean again? Last year you forgot my birthday. Oh, and now you forgot it again. You don't even love me. I don't even know you're my parents. And then he says, oh, Sarah, is that you? And he goes, it says, like, you know, I need whatever. She said, we didn't forget your birthday. And then the father says, what are you talking about? I gave you a special gift last year. Yeah, you gave me $1. Silly. I gave you a silver dollar, but that wasn't a regular silver dollar. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, that was very, bring it to me. I'll show you. Let me show you. Bring it. I don't like what first tell me like what it is. What do you mean? He goes, that was a 1794. Look it up. 1794 flowing hair silver dollar. A 1794 flowing hair silver dollar. Although this is actually true, and I'm about to say we're still in the Moshe, but this story is actually true, is the most expensive coin ever sold at auction, and it was sold for $10 million. Anybody who's familiar with someone named Daniel Ratner, who teaches here and whatever, he's from Washington. He's a coin guy. And I went to him and I said to him, 1794 flowing hair, silver dollar. He goes, yeah, most expensive coin worth $6 million. I said, got you now, boy. It's worth $10 million. He goes, no, it's not. It's worth six. But some schwanz decided to go 10. It was at six and they went 10 and they upped it, but it's really only six. Fine. The most expensive coin ever sold. He says, now go get me the coin. And the kid goes, I don't have the coin anymore. He goes, what do you mean I have the coin? Where's the coin? He goes, I went into the thing. I bought a Diet Dr. Pepper. He goes, what? I think it's $10 million. You bought a Coke with it? He goes, no, a Diet Dr. Pepper. Who's at fault? Why didn't you tell me? You never told me what this was. I had no idea that this was so valuable. If I would have known, that I never would have done such a thing. But you never told me. Chaviv in Yisrael. Hashem loves us so much, He wants to give us a gift. He gives us a kli chemda. As He says, Ki lekach tov nasati lechem, torasi al ta'azovu. He loves us even more than even tells us about this gift of what it is and how precious it is. So what does that mean? That means to say that what we have in our hands, this thing called the Torah, is the most precious, most valuable thing that exists. Literally, as the Zohar says, it's Takal Barais, and the Gemara brings that as well. Ubari Alma, God looked into the Torah and created the world. It's a literal blueprint, like the Mishnah says in Novus 1:2. Shimon Atzai, that comes in, he tells us, without Torah, you got nothing. You got nah. You don't have a thing without the Torah. The world can't exist without it. Without the Torah, it's nothing. So you'll say, well, actually, I'm a girl. I'm not Chayev Talmud Torah, okay? I'm not Chayev Talmud Torah. I want to tell you what this pasuk says. This pasuk says the following idea, and I'm going to give you a beautiful explanation. There's someone named the Kli Yakar. Have you heard of Kli Yakar before? Rav Ephraim Shlomo ben Rav Aaron. I was just by his kever last week. It was just his yard site, actually 2 weeks ago in Prague. And the Kli Yakar says a beautiful idea. I want you to listen to the words, and we're going to end it. Listen, Kli Ki Lekach Tov Nasati Lachem Torasi Al Tazov. Right. So what did it say? So we say, oh, finally, she woke up. So we say, we've only been doing it for 20 minutes. We're going to say it like this. Eitz chayim hi lilom deha v'somcheh me'oshar. Correct? Everyone got it? Sorry? Eitz chayim hi, it's a tree of life, lilom deha, for those who learn it. But it doesn't say that, right? It says, Eitz chayim hi l'machazikim ba. Why, says the Kli Yakar, why are you saying, Eitz chayim hi l'machazikim ba? What does that mean? Says the Kli Yakar, he says, Eitz chayim hi l'machazikim ba means those that are machzikim. What does it mean, machzik? Those who strengthen it, those who build it. Listen carefully. The pasuk is saying, about the Torah itself, it's not even the learning. Do you understand, as a woman, you have a responsibility of Eitz Chayim Hilamachazikim Ba. It's obligation of your husbands and your children, your sons, to be learning the Torah. But the actual pasuk that's talking about the whole essence of it,
are those who are machazik the Torah, those who strengthen it, those who set their kids up to learn well, those who give their husbands opportunity to be shteiging. It's all in your hands. And as we approach Shavuos now, what are we talking about over here? Well, what's my portion? What's my chelik? I'm not involved with Talmud Torah, whatever it is. The answer is, what are you talking about? You're involved in actually making sure it exists. It's chayimi, it is a tree of life for those who machzik it, for those who uphold it, those who strengthen it. You give of your time and energy to make sure it's happening. You give of your finances to make sure it's happening. You go and you give of your everything to make sure that it's happening. So that's, my friends, when we say over here, the greatest gift that we have over here is this gift over here of this gift of this thing called the Torah itself. Now, because I'm already over time, I'll do a quick recap because I got yelled at last time. We'll do a quick recap of everything we did. Okay, so here we go. So we started off in the beginning. Come to the Mishnah found in Gimel. Yod Ches, Gabriel. Yeshchach, come to the end of 3 days. Who? I am what's his name? Rabbi Akiva. Come to the end of 3 days. He says, so beloved of the Creator, and the Son of the Shem, and the Son of the Shem, and the Son of the Shem, and the Adam. So we go and we see the guy until we're creating the day. But what is it good if you don't tell me? You got the homeless guy over there, put the $100 million in the thing. Here's what about the homeless thing. The first thing, how's he going to help over there? Then we get a little bit more. Having Yisrael, the Jewish people, so beloved, what do we say over there? You can put him in the Makkum. It's going to be serious. I'm going to put him in the Shem, and the Lokechem. I'm going to say, whatever it may be. I'm going to sick of me over here. The mission that's coming over the 4-1 over there. I'm going to see what does that mean when we say this concept that even tells us we are Sarah. Sarah. We are princesses, not Japs. We are Gaps. And that's what they're saying over here, that at first it's God and then princess. God and princess. All right, so that's what we say over there. We realize, okay, see, I pulled a U on that. You like that? Come on. Oh. Right, so we go and we see the father, it must be of all those tennis court playings, right? But we find over here that we are the children of, okay, we recognize the idea, so we got to give. We're going to live with this idea, follow the image. We got God, and then we got the princess following this way. It's not about me. It's about the other. And the last one is that we love someone who's give us a good gift, whatever chemda means, what it means is the most precious thing over here, and that's the greatest thing that we have over here. And we go and we connect with the idea, which is it's chaimi lilam dead. No, it's chaimi lilam achazikim. Those are doing over here, so he gives us a precious gift, and he told us about it. Therefore, Torasi, my Torah. Al ta'azovu, do not forsake it. We have the most credible gift that's right with us all the time. Make sure that we take advantage of it. Ladies, that means on a practical basis, right now as we're approaching Shavuos, to strengthen our own learning in whatever areas we can be doing and making sure that we're helping our husbands and our sons and to make sure that they can continue to learn, they can continue to shag, they can continue to grow. Have a great day. Bye.